Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to episode 36. We're going to continue on our Final Fantasy IX. We don't have too many episodes left, but we're going to continue it. If you're just joining us or just wondering where exactly the beginning of the Final Fantasy IX episodes were, that's episode 6. So if you go there, that'll kind of start you off, and if you want, you can binge listen all the way up to this point. So we're going to continue on, of course. We left off with the crew basically getting to Terra, and we kind of went through the initial thing until we got to the first settlement, which is Brand Ball. We haven't gone into it yet, but we did get that scene where, you know, the Invincible came, Dagger remembered everything, and boof, she, you know, passed out. And that's where we're at. So here we go again. It's always something with Dagger, man.
Yeah, Cersei, she's in trouble again. Well, not in trouble, but something's up with Dagger, and yeah. We gotta try and find a place for her to rest. You know, immediately after that scene with her passing out and the Invincible and everything, it was really interesting how kind of the screen goes black, and then you get all of this really sort of interesting text that I'm assuming is Garland at this point talking, but, you know, it's saying how Zidane is completely oblivious, doesn't know the purpose of his existence, etc. Just kind of things are really starting to get serious. Like we're about to have some serious revelations here.
We are. So that's kind of the little lead in here. Buckle up, everyone, because you're going to get a whole lot of story this episode and yeah. Filling in just about any single blank there possibly could be left in this game. So. Yeah. Really, I mean, how the premise is Steiner comes and is like, yo, you know, you do what you need to do, Zidane, you know, well, I'll take care of the princess, we need to find her rest. So Zidane, you basically just have to go into Brand Ball. I think you're kind of greedy. He kind of, I mean, we might be kind of mixing some things up here, you know, after playing it, it's kind of hard to remember exactly what was said when and where, but he does start to realize, like, everyone has a tail, and everyone looks like me, and it's kind of like, you know, it's starting to even more realize, of course, this place is, you know, maybe where I'm from. Essentially, it's kind of like a semicircle area. So before you do anything, it's another one of kind of these little hidden paths. So, you know, on the screen, you got the kind of, you got some buildings on the left and you could walk forward and you kind of got the bridge and there's a railing. If you kind of just go around the railing on the right side of this bridge, Don't go into a different screen. You can actually move around there. And so if you go under there, it'll basically take you back to the screen you were just from. You're kind of in one of those, again, hidden paths. You just kind of move across the screen and you'll like jump or something and you'll get a new hat. It's called the Flash Hat.
Yeah, this thing's pretty sweet. I think this might actually be the first time that we get this ability, Eye for an Eye, which is pretty sweet. I think Zidane can learn it, Amaranth can learn it, and maybe even Freya. But basically what it does is it increases the chance that they will counter an attack.
Right.
So that's a pretty nice ability.
Yeah, absolutely. And so pick that up for sure. Then you can just head back, and I mean, at this point, it's kind of, it's open to you. You can talk to the beings, whatever they are. We don't know what they are yet, but you can talk to them. Some of them say something, some of them don't really say very much at all, but it's quite interesting. I mean, the whole entire thing is very, I don't know, strange, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're like a bunch of clones and, you know, there's a couple of them just staring at the water. You know, the whole place kind of has this like blue hue and the blue light that we were talking about a little earlier that Zidane even talked about as, you know, he was remembering from about his home.
Right.
But they say a bunch of like really weird cryptic things like the waxing and the waning of the planets and the moon and you know, the movements and all this stuff. We've kind of had a little bit of an intro into the information of how Gaia and Terra, ultimately, the goal is to have them become one, right?
Yes.
By like Garland and people like that, they're trying to make that happen. But it is strange, you know, they're all just kind of wandering around. They all have the exact same hair as Zidane. They've all got the tails and everything. So this is the first time in the game, other than the girl that we were chasing earlier, last episode, that, you know, we've seen other beings that look like Zidane.
Yep. There is that first house on the left. If you go into it, it's somewhat of an inn. I think the way it's kind of triggers, you know, Zidane asks someone about it, and they're just like, oh, day and night cycle? Do you mean when the light dims or something? Like, they don't understand yeah. what day and night is, but they still have an inn somehow, you know, whatever. I guess they do get travelers or I mean, it's kind of funny. How,
I know, right?
You know, there's correlations with that, but you do get in there. There's a couple beds, and they're like, okay, this is a good place for Dagger to rest. And so I think the people in there are Steiner, Freya, and Iko, I think, comes in and out, and Zidane. So essentially, that's kind of how it is. Zidane kind of, you know, is not really liking this place physically. You know, I guess you can, you can kind of tell. Some people are asking what's wrong with him. He's not acting himself, and, you know, he's just kind of freaking out. But we do have Iko. She is outside trying to ask for medicine. No one's really even talking to her, really. I mean, it's kind of like just the dot, dot, dot thing, you know? No one's even talking to her until that initial girl in the red, you know, is coming. And we get some pretty funny conversation here.
Yeah, it was pretty much just like, oh, hey, you know, you're the one that caused Dagger to go into this coma or whatever she's in and passed out. Like, don't you have anything to say and everything? And she's just pretty much like, the girl in red is just like, where's your man?
man.
My man?
Oh,
man. It was just so funny. She's like, you better not let Dagger hear that.
Yeah, well, that's what she was like. What was it? Zidane and Dagger totally have the hots for each other, so you're out of luck, you know? And so it's funny stuff.
Aiko's always really funny. She continues to be humorous.
Yes, she's just so fiery, you know. I think that's what it is. It's funny, funny banter, but then she's just fiery, which adds to it. And so, I think at that point after that conversation, she goes into the inn, and Zidane, I don't think Zidane's there. I think Zidane like went up to maybe go find help too or whatever it was. But regardless, it's kind of just a conversation between Dagger and Iko, and they're basically like saying. I don't know. I'm actually maybe getting confused. Maybe Zidane is there. I don't know. But regardless, Zidane needs to go find her in...
That's right.
I don't know if they do call it the lab, but it is essentially, we'll find out here in a moment, like a laboratory kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's right. So after the where's your man sequence and thing, basically the girl in red just totally blows off Iko and, you know, and her request for medicine and to try and help out Dagger and stuff. And pretty much it's just like, tell Zidane to meet me in this underground laboratory, and then she just walks away. Aiko's just like, what a bimbo, you know?
What a bimbo.
She's taking everything, like, really personally and stuff. Anyway, so she goes back into that room where Dagger's at.
Yes.
And this is where Zidane starts acting really frustrated and comments on how the blue light is making him kind of agitated and things like that, and he's just He's just not acting himself, like Freya said. So, right around that time, anyways, Dagger just randomly wakes up. We don't really know why she passed out, other than the fact that, I guess, seeing the ship that destroyed Maiden Sari and Alexandria was just too much for her, and she just was overwhelmed or something. So, all of that happens, and, you know, they're talking about it, and she's like, that was definitely, you know, the eye in the sky. That was definitely the ship that did all of that.
She correlates it.
Right, and Steiner has a really funny line of like, that must have been the ship that slew Her Majesty, and Zidane's just like, Steiner!
You know? Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's finally everyone realizes that now. It's like, okay, so this ship has clearly been hounding Gaia especially, and, you know, Dagger just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time always with it, and... So they know that's that, and then, Iko basically just busts out the comment of, you gotta go find that pervert in the underground laboratory. calls her a bimbo, a pervert, everything, man. She just is hating on this girl big time.
She thinks she's coming on to Zidane hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, she's a pervert waiting in the underground lab, so Zidane goes off, and I believe it. This point you're in control of Iko, correct?
No, you get control of Zidane first.
Or you're
so,
back with Zidane. Okay,
so you're still Zidane here, so yes, you gotta go out and basically find that bimbo pervert, whatever you want to call her. And At that point, if you just go right back into the inn, there is an elixir. You probably saw the chest. That's what's there. It's an elixir. The next building over is the building we want to go in. It's like the lab area. And it's essentially, it has two exits and it's on both kind of halves of this town. So it doesn't really matter how you get in there. You could probably get this when you do go down to talk to her. But if you just want to go right now, there's also an elixir on the ground level, essentially right next to the girl that you want to talk to. Doesn't matter if you talk to her now or later, it's there.
Yeah, and you'll know you're in the right place because the first floor, basically right when you go in, there's like a big old crystal with a bunch of people just standing around it. So that's the place that you need to be to progress the story.
Yep, and so you can grab that elixir now or later, it doesn't matter. But if you do go to the right screen of Brand Ball, that is, you know, there's some more things there, and we will pick that up right after Bold Move. All right, so our bold moves for this time. I'll start us off. Mine is in Final Fantasy X-2. And, you know, there's so many easy ones there, of course, with Brother. But I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to go a different route. It was kind of a bold move for Isaru to turn Xanarkin into a tourist location.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the heck, man?
Yeah, definitely, man.
That was... It's a holy place. Like, there are so many, you know, spirits and of all the guardians and summoners that have died there and all this. And now, granted, yeah, he had help from Cid. We're not going to, you know, place it solely on him. But he was a summoner himself. He should have understood. Like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, for real. And then there's all those, like, sphere hunters there. And some of them are even talking about setting up floodlights and things like that. It's ridiculous, man. Yeah.
I mean, it was such a problem that we had to start mating off monkeys to stop it from happening. That's how serious the problem was.
Oh, it's going to be so funny when we get to 10-2.
Yes. What you got?
All right. So I'm going to go to Final Fantasy 13, which, as you know, is probably one of my, like, one of the Final Fantasies I know the least about. But
same.
I took a shot at this. So, you know, I was thinking there was that whole section where you find out that the reason why Dodge got turned into a lessee was because Vanille and Fang broke into the Uriday Gorge facility or whatever and tried to take down the Falsi Kujata. Right. That was a bold move because, yeah, like that part of the story is really intricate, but, you know, ended up. Basically, you find out that when you do something like that, the Falsi tries to turn somebody else into a lessee to protect itself. So that was a bold move by that
was.
Man. It ended up totally messing up Saws and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Screwed over a man's life. Then he got turned into one as well.
Dodge!
I mean, goodness. That whole story. I mean, we will get the 13 eventually, and we're gonna try to decipher as much as we can. But oof, you gotta. Gosh, man, their whole web planning for that story was probably just all over the place.
Yeah, you got to read like a book in the data log to understand what's going on.
Yes. All right, well, those are our bold moves, and let's get back to Brand Ball. All right, so we're on that right side of Brand Ball. And really, there's only kind of one room here, one building. If you go into it, you have Moorok the Moogle. Apparently, they have Moogles in Terra. Such a interesting thing.
Well, it's funny because you go in there and there's a couple of genomes for people. Sorry. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
That was a slip up. Anyways, so you see like this pot or this urn or something like that kind of like rattling
basket,
around.
Whatever.
You go over and inspect it, and then that's where the Moogle is, and we have no idea if Moorok has always been in that pot or urn, but anyways, we freed him, so there you go.
Yes, and if you do go to Mognet, which he doesn't know, but still gives you a letter anyway, so it's like, oh, what do they call it here, you know, because obviously you're still just making us cart letters all over the place for you, but you do get a letter from Moorok. It is to Mons, I guess.
Mosny, I think,
or
something like that.
Mosner, who really knows, to be honest, but you will have that letter. And you have a mock shop, so hopefully, you know, you have a decent amount of money, because you will need it. Absolutely, if you plan on buying anything from the store.
Yeah, and we talked about it since, like, Daguerreau, that little optional place, but this is really, like, things start to... This is, like, some of the best equipment in the game.
Yeah.
In fact, first one we'll start off with, and the most obvious right at the top, is Orichalcum, which is the most powerful Thieves' Dagger in the entire game. It's got 71 attack. It's crazy good.
Yeah.
But it is, however, 17,000 gil.
Yeah, so hopefully you stole that.
Yeah, which is why you really wanted to steal it from, what was that guy's name in Ibsen's Castle?
Oh, gosh.
That boss there.
Yeah, the little
bug anyways,
dude.
The boss in Ibsen's Castle. So.
Yeah. And the good thing is some of the things that we did say are going to be missable, they are kind of still here for now, right? So, like, for instance, some of those daggers you can still get and buy. But as far as the good stuff, you know, another one that you can get that I definitely bought because I do use Freya is the Holy Lance. Just because it's got Dragon's Crest on it. And, you know, I don't know how much damage it's actually going to do for me because I was looking at it. I was like, gosh, man. Yeah. So Dane is still level 33. Like, I am so low levels, I don't get in any battles, and I probably just need to go ahead and just finally just start doing some battles. But regardless of this ability, Dragon's Crest, you know, it does more damage to, you know, if you've killed more dragons. So, you know, it's kind of just, it's based on that, which is nice. And the other good thing is what it ignores defense. So that's also a real big plus. Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, that if you were lucky enough, you could have stolen the Holy Lance way back at Fighting Art in Eelvert, which is really interesting because it was a really low percentage chance, but super powerful weapon.
Yeah, seriously.
Another one, actually, going back to what Mark said, this is actually the very last time that you can buy Zorlin Shape. And I mentioned earlier that Zorlin Shape is going to be useful for synthesizing some really powerful weapons in Disforce. So if you haven't picked up about three, at least, of those, I would definitely do that. I know they're expensive, but you're going to need them. A really nice new weapon for Steiner is the Defender. This is a really cool weapon because it teaches him Thunderslash abilities. So we're finally, other than the Chocograph ones, we're finally starting to get Beatrix's abilities. But this is kind of interesting, and I just have to talk about it. Have you ever used Thunderslash?
I don't think I have, to be honest.
Okay. I forgot to trial test this before this episode, but I know that in previous ones, and I think even in this one, Thunderslash's formula is broken. And what that means is basically it misses all the time for some reason because it's this weird glitch where normally the damage formula is Steiner's magic divided by 4 plus his level minus the target level.
Okay.
And it would have the accuracy of the weapon, but for whatever reason it was set to 0, so it literally just always misses.
0% accuracy. Whoops, someone forgot to put a 50 or, you know, or a 6 or 7 in front of that.
It's such a shame because, you know, you notice like earlier in the game Beatrix Thunderslash never misses or very rarely. So, but unfortunately Thunderslash doesn't work. But another nice thing about Defender, and I'm blanking on what elements, but it does help you to absorb certain elements, like I think Thunder, Lightning element, or something like that. So just an FYI, it is actually a good defensive weapon as well.
Sweet. And the Venger is there also. We've been able to get that, I think, for a tiny bit here. But cool ability on that, Demi Shock, which, you know, I guess. I don't know why we wouldn't just... you know, use some of the other ones, because, I mean, it does 20% of the target's max HP.
I've never really used it that much, to be honest.
Yeah, that's not really particularly a high percentage at this point of max HP. But some other things, now you can finally buy that Bistro Fork, so it just really puts... You know, it always... Sometimes when these things become available, it really puts in perspective how early you can get some stuff in this game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I got that Bistro Fork from the Frogs way, way back, you know? And
same here.
It's just one of those things, and it's like, wow, you can get it now. Not that it really matters with Kino, because, you know, but still. Sure. And, you know, we just pick some up, but you can't buy now the Dragon Wrist. You can buy that Flash Hat that we just talked about. Coronet's in there also. And then, of course, Minerva's played also, you know, and so some of the things that you literally just probably, hopefully, picked up if you listened to the last episode, you don't have to purchase unless you just want to buy an additional one or two. But some new ones is that Adamant hat. That, I mean, that's a new one, and it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, it is. It's got, good magic defense. It's got the ability that we haven't really talked about much before. You've had access to it before, but Gamble Defense is a pretty interesting
Yes.
ability in which, I haven't looked into this, but basically it takes really barely any of those magic stones. I think it
Think
takes
it's
like
only
one.
one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it says that it like randomly increases your defense or something like that. So it's kind of nice to have.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's only one, and yeah, it's exactly that. It just says it has a chance to increase your defense. So it's like there's
Yep.
literally no drawback. And if you just have those pesky, like, 1 or 2 or 3 points left over and you can't get anything, toss it on. Why not?
Yep. And I mean, as Mark mentioned, the Minerva's plate and platinum armor and all of that stuff, and everything is really, really
Really?
expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably only be able to get one or two of these,
And
but.
I think also right now, I think you only have Zidane. So kind of going back and grinding out some gil from
Yeah.
battles really isn't an
Not a good
option.
idea.
Yeah, so obviously just get whatever you can at this point. And if you do leave the room, turn around, come right back in, because here we go. I don't know how. What was he doing? Was he on a fishing boat just by the portal and was like, "Whoa, Koopa, what's that?" and just decided to go into it? I don't know. But Stiltskin's here.
Oh man. Yeah, I love that, isn't it hilarious? All the way back to like even like Disc One and Alexandria, we've seen
Yeah.
Stiltskin everywhere. And yeah, like you said, that is funny to think about. Like, what was he doing? How did he get here? He wasn't
Exactly.
on the airship, so
No,
no
unless he
idea,
was a
but
stowaway.
somehow he's here. And yeah, again, like you want to really get this stuff because you get a nice little prize for buying all of his deals. And
Yep.
this time it's a really, really good one. A diamond ether and elixir for 2,222 gil, and that diamond is missable. So
Yep. And so if you do need a little extra cash, remember you always have those stockpiles of ethers or other things if you accidentally bought a little too much to be able to afford that. But he is there. That is the second to last one. Hint, hint. So definitely buy that. And at this point, I mean, kind of just need to progress the story. There is an angel earrings by that pool in the middle. I think it's on the left side of the town. If you just kind of go towards, it's on the north. If you just kind of like go down towards the water, it's just there. And at this point, go down to the lab, talk to the girl in red. You do get quite a bit more. She does let you know on what these things are called that Alex ruined it for all of us.
whoops. Yeah, my bad. It's just
Too
one of those
easy.
slip ups.
Yep.
It's difficult to say, like, these people, da da da. But
Yep.
anyways, yeah, we get the lowdown, and this is the lab is actually really creepy because you can actually see some of the genomes that they're called
Yeah.
being created. They're kind of like standing in these little like pods,
Little
basically.
tanks or something, yeah.
And yeah, and the people around them are like response value 3, 5 something, So they're testing them for how they react. They're testing their suitability for something that we're not sure yet. But
Yeah.
it's pretty obvious that they are in fact created. They're not,
And well, and that's what she does tell Zidane. So she does tell Zidane, like, yeah, we were all created. And at first Zidane's like, well, yeah, you guys. She's like, nope, you were too, And so we get a little bit more insight into this. So clearly these were all just created, manufactured, essentially. And she does give a little bit more tidbit too. She says, like, the true people of Terra, so they aren't the, they aren't the residents, so to speak, of this world. The true people are asleep and they're waiting for Gaia to basically be absorbed by Terra itself, and the souls on Gaia will, like, come into Terra and be provided to, I guess, essentially wake these people up, kind of a deal. And it's kind of like, whoa. And so obviously Zidane's
That's
like,
crazy.
whoa, and he's getting angry, he's kind of lashing out in that way because,
Yeah.
yeah. How would you just like to walk into some place and be like, oh, dude, yeah, no, you were created, by the way. It's like, what? No, I wasn't, man. What are
Exactly.
you talking about?
And to add to that, the people up in the upper room standing around the crystal say some really interesting things. Some of them say that basically they watch the crystal to see if it changes color from blue to red, which would indicate that Terra's going to overtake Gaia and all
Right.
this, and the two planets are going to merge. It's seriously, like, this is probably the deepest part of the story in the game where
Yes.
it's like, man, you know, everything all comes together, and this whole time we had no idea who Zidane really was and what he was, so
Oh, we're gonna
really
find out
interested.
more. And so at this point, the girl in red kind of just walks away. Your whole goal is to follow her. Zidane's moving him by himself, though, and so that's kind of how that goes. Then it goes to now you're in control of Vico. So you, I think, need to go find Zidane. Dagger's like, yo, you need to go find him. I just have a really bad feeling something terrible is gonna happen. And so Vico's like, got it. And here we go. We got something that, you know, maybe you forgot about. It's just kind of a faint whisper in the wind from all those episodes long ago. Those are called active time events. Do you know what those are? Yeah, we got some. Crazy. So,
really has been forever.
dude, it's been such a long time, especially like ones that are optional. You know, we've had a couple of the forced ones, but optional. And so these are optional. If you do miss them, they're really hard to miss. But if you do miss them, you won't get that achievement, right? So here you go. There are four of them. The first one is called A Place to Call Home. It's essentially available directly after gaining control of Vico. You're in the inn. It's a great start off for us. None other than Kina is rolling into that laboratory room with the stone, and she's like, "Ooh, what is that?" You know, and she's like, "Is it edible? Is it for barbecue?" And she's like, "I'm gonna lick it." She's like, "No one's telling me I can't, so I'm gonna do it." You know.
It's that part is so funny though, because it's just like it's very salty.
It's very salty. Yes. Oh,
And she's
gosh.
sitting there like licking the crystal or
Licking the
something like
crystal.
that.
Hell, no one says
And
anything. They're like, oh, yeah, I've done that too.
And then Zidane comes on up. She's like, "Oh, hey, what's up, Zidane? You know, da da da." And he's obviously not himself. You know, this is
Right.
like
Well, especially after that, because he just found out
after
all the
that.
info.
Yeah, because she mentions like you're walking around like a zombie, not saying anything like the rest of these weirdos. What's up?
Actually,
You know,
she
and he's
says, like
just
the rest of the dummy dummies.
dummy dummies. Yeah, my bad. That's right. She always has the best. And he's just
Yeah.
like, "Oh, well, maybe you're right," and then just walks off. He's not, you know, he's not a sarcastic, full of
No.
life self. He's kind of taken down by that information, so.
Yes. And so back to Ico, if you just leave the inn, that is the next one becomes available. This one is Where the Heart Is, and it's now with Vivi. He's kind of on the opposite side of Brown Ball. He's on the right side, just talking to a genome, and it's kind of an interesting conversation. It doesn't, you know, the genome doesn't really say much back, kind of a deal, but Zidane's coming through and is like, dude, you're wasting your time, man. You're not gonna get anything out of him. But Vivi, and if we kind of just think about this for a second, Vivi has a whole lot to relate to these. Why? Because, well, they were all created, right? Vivi was created,
That's
this was
right.
created, and he's like, no, he's like, I sense something, you know, behind them. You know, they're much more than just kind of a husk, you know,
Empty
they're
vessel, yeah.
yeah.
So I think after you do that, you basically go to that area
Yes.
and you meet up with Vivi, right? And then he's, you know, she's just like, "Go
Well,
on up
okay,
the."
so on that side though, once you do go to it, that's when the next AT is going to become available. So probably grab that first before talking to Vivi. This one is came into the world, and it's now with Amarant. So it's just kind of showing all the different characters in Amarant, and now it's showing that Zidane is now kind of in that side, essentially kind of like the middle bridge area. I don't really know how to describe it. It's kind of when you
Up
came
by
in
like the
before.
portal or something,
Yeah,
right?
where you had the branches of the bridges, you can go either way.
That's right.
It is just funny. Amarant's thing. He's like, yeah, you know, what's up, man? Actually, Zidane's just like, what do you want? He's like, is there any way to greet someone? You know, what the heck, man? And he's like, yeah, I thought we'd find some mean mothers down here. I thought it was all a bunch of wimps.
Seriously. And I also just think it's funny, after Ibsen's castle, that was kind of like Amarant's progression arc. You know what I
Yes.
mean? Like every character has a point in the story where they kind of finally get on board and they're like fully
Yeah,
on
get
board.
over their
Because like
issues.
what you said, you know, before he probably wouldn't have cared if Zidane had
Yeah.
said, you know, whatever to him or anything like that. Now he actually cares about that kind of stuff a little bit more, so.
Yeah. Well, and so, as Alex said, if you were in that one area when we have Ico, go pick up Vivi. You do now need to go into kind of the lab area where Kina is. Go in there. This is going to be your last ATE. It's called The Truth. And this one just essentially, again, it's following Zidane. Zidane's following the girl. They went through kind of that green portal where Amarant was. And she's just like, yo, you know, I'm leading you to Garland. You're going to go talk to him. And, you know, you'll find out all that. So that kind of all is that one. And, you know, Zidane goes on.
Yep.
And so at this point, talk to Kena, pick her up. Go ahead, head out to where Amarant was, pick him up. They'll basically all join, you know, they're all like concerned for Zidane. We're like, yep.
Yeah.
Got that.
And that part always cracks me up too, because it's like Amarant's basically like, I'm trying to tell you that I'll tag along. You catch my drift?
yeah, because Aikos doesn't get it. He's like, no, yeah. I'm coming with you. And so you'll talk to the girl. Aiko, of course, is very fiery with her, you know, and it's like, what'd you do? And all that stuff. And
they
essentially want to go follow, but it goes to Zidane at that point. And we don't know what it's called yet, but, or I guess maybe, actually, I think the girl did say it's Pandemonium is what it is. Yeah. Kind of like he ports in, it's like a harp looking thing. He's not too impressed with Garland's interior design, he says. It's pretty terrible. And we're about to get a whole lot of info. So if that wasn't enough for you, we're going to have to wait and be patient, because we are going to go to Seed Trivia first. All right, Alex is on his rank 29 Seed Trivia quiz. He's rolling again. He failed that once and he said never again. So he's doubling down. Unfortunately for you, man, we're going to start off in Final Fantasy 13, and the countermeasure paradigm, which is two sentinels in one sab.
Countermeasure. I don't know, true. I just sitting there thinking, I thought it was called something else, but we'll just say true. Why not?
All right. Final Fantasy 10-2. Now, if you... 1,000 words... They call out through the ages, and they'll fly to you.
Suspended on silver wings?
They by chance? Might be suspended on silver wings.
Yeah, that's true.
Final Fantasy VII, this is going to test some memory for you, man. All right. At the number 5 reactor, when you're doing that button press that needs to be synchronized, right? Barret is on the left, Tifa is on the right.
True.
Man. All right, Final Fantasy IX. We know the characters, like, you know, if you're at the home screen, you let it kind of go to sleep, so to speak, and it shows, like, the different characters with their little, like, little plaques, and they have, like, an emotion or something, you know, and then they have a little bit with it. Vivi's emotion is despair.
Ooh. True.
Final Fantasy XII. And we're going to keep it in the original version to help you out a little bit. If you provided all of the clams to Dantro's wife, you will get a golden amulet. If you turned them all in, you'll get a golden amulet.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, see, I didn't know if I was going to tell you the remastered if you'd know that, but... Anyways, Final Fantasy VIII. You can purchase fuel for 3,000 gil.
That is also true.
The last one, Final Fantasy X. At the Kidlika Forest, if you approach Lord Achu from either side and then flee, someone will run up and give you 3 Phoenix Downs.
Huh. I don't know. I've never even... False.
All right, man. Let's recap this. First one was our Final Fantasy 13 countermeasure paradigm is two sentinels, one sab. You said true, it is false. It's reversed. It's two sabs in one sentinel.
What is a two sentinel, like safe subversion or something like that?
Dude, that's how would I know any of that? Why are you asking me? Okay. I just look at the strategy guide. All right. 10-2. 1,000 words. Caught out through the ages. Yep, that is true, man. They do fly to you, and they will be suspended on silver wings.
Suspended on silver wings.
On silver wings. Yep. I just had to go back to that moment. I'm sure everyone listening, you have to appreciate our beautiful singing. Oh, Final Fantasy VII. Dude, what the heck, man? Why do you have that memorized? That is just ridiculous. Yep, you said true, it is true. Barret is on the left, Tifa is on the right.
Yeah, I played that game way too many times, dude.
Yeah, well, whatever. All right, Final Fantasy IX, Vivi's emotion, that's just kind of what I'm calling it, at least, is despair. You said true, It's false, man. It's sorrow.
Sorrow. Okay.
I was trying to go for something similar.
That was tough.
Yeah, then he's like, what is it to exist? Do we even exist?
How do we even know if we exist or something?
Like, dude, chill out.
He needs to get over it.
You exist, you're just not real. There you go. All right, Final Fantasy 12. If you know, all the claims, you get the golden amulet. You said true, it is true. Yep, that is definitely. All right, Final Fantasy 8. I cannot say I've ever purchased fuel on that game, but apparently you have because you said true and it is true. You can buy it for 3,000 gil. How much driving are you doing, man?
I mean, four-wheel driving everywhere. When you do all the side quest stuff, you got to do a lot of driving.
All right, our last one. If you approach Lord Achu from either side and then flee the battle, someone will run up and give you 3 Phoenix Downs. You said false. That is apparently true.
Really?
Man.
I've never done that. I didn't even know up. You could I didn't... run away.
Well, so yeah, so apparently you can flee that battle. And if you flee normally from the front, I guess maybe nothing happens. I don't know. But apparently if you approach from either side, fight, and then flee, one of the Crusaders will run up to you and say something to give you 3 Phoenix Downs.
Huh.
It's cool. Quite interesting. We'll have to test that out, but
yeah.
Regardless, man, you missed 3, but that's okay because you still passed.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice close one for you, but congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, that was tough, man. You got me on a couple of those.
But all right, well, Alex got his 20, rank 29. He's about to approach and probably get 30, but we'll leave that for the next episode. Let's get back to 9 and see what awaits us in Pandemonium. All right, so here we are. Zidane got to Pandemonium. He's confronting Garland, and there's a whole lot here. So we are going to do our best to address as much of this as we can. And then, of course, we'll dissect and talk about it and stuff. But there's going to be more things that we're not going to probably talk about. So we'll do our best. Regardless, so first thing is, yes, Zidane goes forward. Garland's like, yo, man, what's up? And essentially feels summoned. So he's no longer old man. You know, he lets him know, yes, I'm Garland.
Yeah.
Building essentially on what Zidane just learned. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, you were a prized genome that I was going to send to basically disrupt Gaia's cycle of souls. And so we're going to get into that a little bit more too. He talks more about that. Mm-hmm. But he's like, there's another that was built like you that apparently has thrown a wrench in my plans.
Yeah, exactly. So. And, you know, essentially as this is happening, Garland's kind of like talking and then walking away, disappearing a little bit. And you're kind of like hopping from like, I don't know what they are, podium to podium or something like that to try and advance the conversation.
Yeah.
And anyways, he sort of, you know, Zidane's like, who is this other genome that you're talking about? And Garland's just like, well, somebody that you know very well. You've met him before, et cetera, et cetera. All of this foreshadowing. And we basically find out, and this is just so ironic, that it's actually Kuja. And not only that, but it's Zidane. So that makes Kuja Zidane's brother, in a sense.
Yes. Yeah, because they were kind of like built on the same model, so to speak. You know, I guess these genomes, as we know, they're created, you know, in a lab and stuff. So I guess they have kind of similar DNA, if you will.
Yeah, because, I mean, he talks about how it's sort of like the Black Mage thing, too, where basically he created these genomes to cause, wreak havoc, but they had a lifespan. And so Zidane was kind of like, quote-unquote, the newer model that had a much longer lifespan, I think, or something like that, well, right?
We're going to get on. So apparently, I guess, Kuja was the first one. Right. I guess he was built. And then, essentially, I guess what it sounds like is that they, you know, they built Kuja and it was a success. And so they expanded further on that, took Kuja, altered it even more. And now here's Zidane, and that's what he is. You know, and so Garland talks, you know, lets him know, yes, Kuja, you know him. He's like, but his will was too strong. He denies his existence. You know, he doesn't see himself as built as, like, you know, a genome. You know, he thinks he's greater than that, which, I mean, essentially he is. So Zidane's like, yeah, but he's like, yo, dude, like, how, so why did I even end up on Gaia? Like, how did I grow up there? You know, I mean, if all this is true, then like, how is even that possible? And essentially, I guess what happened was, you know, Zidane was made and Kuja saw him, was like, oh, heck no, man, that dude's even stronger than I am. That's not good. And threw him to Gaia, you know, like cast him in the portal. Nara, you know, because yeah. Kuja knew he was going to be destroying that world anyway. So, you know, hey, I'm just going to destroy him with it.
Yeah, he just cast him off. And that's how Zidane ended up with Tantalus and all that kind of stuff. We don't exactly know, like, when, you know, that happened, but we know Zidane's age
I think he actually does say 12 years ago. I think he did gave a... Okay. I think they said plus or minus a couple of years here, but he did say something like Kuja was made like 24 years ago and Zidane was made like 12 years ago.
What's really interesting about this too is the fact that, you know, Zidane's kind of in denial about all this stuff. Obviously, this is all pretty intense because Zidane thought that he was, you know, in control somewhat and all this kind of stuff, and he didn't really know a lot of his background or his you know, where he was from, but he didn't know that he was created to be a tool of destruction like that. So, yeah, basically the revelation here is that he would have been just another Kuja, essentially.
Yeah.
Maybe even more powerful, so...
There's a whole lot of talk of the souls, right? So he kind of... Garland must have been around with, you know... Red 13 and all them at that place talking about with the little model, right? I'm trying to remember all this specifically because he talks about
Final Fantasy 7,
the worlds have cycles, you know, the souls return to the earth kind of a deal, and it's like, oh, you get very original thought here, guys, come on. And but essentially that's what he talks about, right? The cycle, that's what the whole disrupt that cycle, they wanted to disrupt that. He talks about that. That's the point, is we're trying to drain Gaia's souls. We need this. We have a void here in Terra. We need souls, apparently, in order to keep Terra alive. And, you know, those will fill the void. And then he gives more info on the fact that the Aoife tree, that's the whole purpose. And he's like, yeah, but we stopped that. He's like, yeah, but that, it's like, essentially, you only saw the tip of the iceberg. You know, that's all you messed with, was just the tip of the iceberg. He's like, that's the soul divider, and the mist itself on Gaia is stagnant souls on Gaia, is essentially what the mist is. So he kind of gives info on what mist actually is.
You kind of hit on that too, where it was like, this sort of concept isn't a lot of Final Fantasies, because I know what I'm thinking of too is Final Fantasy X, with the, the cycle of death, or...
Right.
I forget what it's called. We'll get to that later.
Fireflies and all that stuff.
That's right. And, you know, anyways, in this game, I think it's so interesting that this kind of ties into everything else we've been talking about, too, where we found out that the Shimmering Island, which was the pathway to Terra, was the pathway of the souls and things like that.
Yeah.
We've kind of already knew that the Aoife tree was just it was a significant location in the story. And now it's become even more significant that we now know that the mist was more than just black, you know, creation of the black mages, but it's also basically the pathway of the souls in a way as well.
And we know, especially with the girl told us that, you know, the genomes are vessels. So they're essentially just holding the souls until, I guess enough come to Terra or something like that, you know, and then they're going to, what I would imagine, be released to the actual residents of Terra, kind of a deal. And so that really does make a whole lot of sense with the black mages and how they were animated by the mist, because, well, mist is souls, and so it's being put into a vessel, black mage, and there they go. And so that kind of that fills it in, but it's just, man, I just had a thought when I was reading that, you know? I'm like, okay, so that makes sense for them. But, dude, how does the mist then power airships, you know? It's like, oh, the engines can't run if it doesn't have mist. So, like, what, you're putting old Gramps and Pops in your engine, and that's what's powering it? Like, how does that work? It's like, dude, you guys are powering your engines on souls. What are you doing? Horrible.
Yeah, we don't get too much more information on that concept. But, yeah, that is an interesting note that we've known, you know, about how it's used for the machinery and things like that in Gaia. But now that we know actually what the mist really is, it's a whole different story.
Yes.
But basically, yeah, you know, a lot of this is just how Kuja actually did exactly what Garland wanted him to do, right? You know, he was basically created all of this war. He was the angel of death, so to speak, that would, you know, send souls to the Ifa tree. And basically, Zidane was supposed to be the up-and-coming angel of death.
Yeah, he was the next one. And, you know, that's an interesting point because, you know, we know that Kuja's been kind of, you know, bucking here a little bit. He's been thinking that he's trying to find a way to destroy Garland. In the process, he's serving his exact purpose that Garland intended for him to do, which was to cause mayhem, to cause war, to do all this stuff, to kill a bunch of people and kind of stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so it's just kind of interesting that he's playing right into his hand anyways. But
yeah,
Zidane, at this point, kind of after all this revelation, Zidane is kind of like, you know what, man? He's like, no way, though. He's like, I'm not buying into this. I've had enough of this. Like, I'm going to take you out, you know, because he's like, you know, what I know is all the friends and the family that I have and made, you know, on Gaia and stuff. He doesn't mm-hmm. never knew his true purpose. And so he wants to basically take Garland out right then and there. Doesn't seem to be a good idea.
Yeah. Garland basically just like puts him to sleep instantly. And then is saying, he's too good to be a regular genome, but I have no choice because basically it kind of goes back to that whole idea of the will. So, you know, Zidane and Kuja are different from just the other bland vessels in that they have a very strong will.
Yeah.
And he wants that will to be used in a certain way, but unfortunately their will is so strong that they want to turn against him and defy their creator and all of this kind of stuff. It's really interesting. So basically he's like, this guy's too dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah. And right after that, it kind of fades and we have Kuja now. And I didn't really jot down or remember specifically what he says, but he's just like, oh, I never thought I'd return here, you know, and all this.
Yeah,
and
he's back.
And he's back and he's saying the same mumbo jumbo. You'll get yours, Garland. Zidane, you'll get yours too. And it's,
he's just gonna take everybody out, and he's got control of the Invincible now.
Well, yes. So you do get the whole shot. You see the Invincible coming up to him. What I don't get though with this, it's like, dude, what do you got against Zidane? I know we've been fighting you this whole time, but come on, man. Like, you know, we didn't do this to you. Just take out Garland, all right? Let us live.
I know, seriously. He's like got this vendetta against him.
We're brothers, man. We're brothers. Yeah. Come on, let's band together.
Yeah. Right. Hey, but one note I do want to end with, too, is that this kind of fills in, like, you know, for the most part of the game, Zidane's kind of like a normal thief, I guess you could say, right? Like his ability set. This all makes sense with his trance. If any of you guys have been playing and stuff, you know, how does he have those crazy trance abilities? That's probably why. I mean, those abilities are super powerful. So that's
Exactly. And they don't make much sense for his character, you know?
Exactly. He's got like crazy powerful moves. So anyways, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And he does, you know, it does continue on, and we're going to pick that up in the next episode here with exactly what happens, because there's going to, you know, Zidane's finally going through his character development. Everyone else has gone through theirs. It's like now it's his turn, and there's some significant decisions and things coming up with that. But essentially, we now know it all. We know now everything, you know. Yeah, any questions? Where did Zidane come from? What, you know, what is going on here with basically, you know, Kuja? How does he know him and all that? And, you know, we get insight into the mist and what the purpose is of the mist and these souls and these vessels. And so it's just it's a whole bunch of info right here. But you finally get a sense of the game. Finally.
Crazy stuff.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us on this episode. Like I said, we will finish off Pandemonium and more in the upcoming episodes. We probably got, I don't know, 5 or 6 left, so not many more.
Yeah.
You know, as we've been mentioning, and you all probably know if you've been following a little bit, we are going to Final Fantasy X after this, so that will be really cool, and we got some ideas for some really cool things to hopefully go along with that if it all just kind of aligns and works out for us. But we thank you all for listening, for hanging out, spending time with us, supporting the podcast. We really do appreciate it. You can stop off at our website, finalstopfinalfantasytalks.com. just more info there, some more things. We might, along with, you know, the Final Fantasy X theme, might be slapping up some additional content and stuff on there as well. We'll see. You can also stop off at our Instagram, same handle. And, you know, it's just kind of cool. We post the pictures, clips, whatever, of the stuff going on. And it's just a really good way if you want to interact and you have questions or statements or want to tell us about the things we missed talking about, which I'm sure are many, that provides you, of course, the means of doing so. And it's just really cool interacting with all of you.
Yeah, it definitely has been. We appreciate it.
All right, well, we will catch you all next time. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.